I'm Justin Dane with a brief look at the latest news in Texas politics and policy from the Texas Tribune. In November, Harris County had set up a day of 24-hour voting to make it easier for voters, like shift workers, who face difficulty getting to the polls during traditional hours. Outlawing 24-hour voting is one part of Senate Bill 7, priority legislation backed by Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick this legislative session. The bill would enact other sweeping changes to voting, including making it illegal for local election officials to proactively send applications for mail-in ballots to voters, even if they qualify, and restricting the distribution of polling places and voting machines in diverse urban counties. The intent, GOP leaders say, is to protect the integrity and standardization of Texas elections from local efforts like those Harris County officials devised in November to expand voting access. But the pushback from local leaders, Democrats, big businesses, and voting rights advocates has intensified, centering on concerns that the legislation's effect will almost certainly make voting harder for groups like voters of color, voters with disabilities, low-income voters, and voters with limited English proficiency, who are the most likely to be shut out if voting procedures are tightened. As they successfully shepherd SB 7 through the Senate over the last 2 weeks, Republicans argued that it's a race-neutral bill, not designed to discriminate, in part because the state's voter rolls are colorblind and voters don't list their race or ethnicity when they register. But to critics, especially those familiar with past election restrictions that Texas has passed that made it harder for already marginalized voters to participate, neutrality is a false flag. The legislation passed the Senate with zero support from Democrats. The legislation is part of a broader Republican push to make changes to voting laws in a state with already restrictive rules. It echoes national efforts by Republicans in state legislatures across the country, largely built on claims of widespread voter fraud, for which there was little to no evidence, to rework voting rules after voters of color helped flip key states to Democratic control. As Texas lumbers toward its goal of vaccinating most of its 22 million residents eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine, the state continues to show up in the lower half of some national rankings measuring progress toward reaching herd immunity against the coronavirus. Texas ranks 45th nationally in terms of the overall percentage of its population fully vaccinated, according to Becker's Hospital Review, a business publication whose rankings are widely circulated. Looking only at the adult population, the state has fully vaccinated 23% of residents 18 and older, compared to 25% for the nation as a whole. Meanwhile, Texas beats the national percentage of senior citizens who have been fully vaccinated. But the various national rankings, which vary widely depending on which metric is used and where the data is coming from, can change quickly and are also subject to delays in reporting. The February winter storm also created a domino effect, with providers unable to administer doses that week, which would have moved the state higher in the rankings. For those reasons, officials say, rankings can tell an incomplete story about where Texas falls in comparison to the rest of the country. Still, experts say Texas's own fractured distribution system can't be left entirely off the hook for what happens to be, by many measures, a slower-than-average rollout. For a broader look at vaccine numbers in Texas, visit texastribune.org. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas will argue that it has governmental immunity that protects it from at least 35 lawsuits that have been filed against the operator after February's disastrous storm, which killed dozens of people and created millions of dollars of damages. ERCOT has and will continue to assert that it is entitled to sovereign immunity due to its organization and function as an arm of state government, the organization wrote in a court filing requesting to consolidate several of the lawsuits it's battling. Sovereign immunity grants protections for state agencies against lawsuits, with some exceptions. A flurry of lawsuits were filed against ERCOT following the late February winter storm that caused almost 70% of its customers to lose power in sub-freezing temperatures. At least 111 people died, mostly due to hypothermia, according to state records. The Houston Chronicle reports the number of dead is nearly 200. ERCOT previously argued, with some success, that it should be shielded from lawsuits due to its role acting upon state agencies and lawmakers' directives. In 2018, an appeals court in Dallas ruled that ERCOT, although a private nonprofit, has sovereign immunity after Dallas-based utility, Panda Power, sued the operator, alleging flawed energy projections. That immunity was challenged at the Texas Supreme Court last month. However, the High Court refused to rule on the issue, claiming it lacked jurisdiction. Check for updates on our website, texastribune.org. You can also follow us on Twitter. We are at Texas Tribune. And follow The Brief Podcast for daily news updates on your favorite podcast app. I'm Justin Dane with the Texas Tribune. You've been briefed. Today's brief is brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. As Texas's leading research university, UT prepares students to do research that impacts Texas's economy, cultural life, and natural treasures. Find out more at utexas.edu.